It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests. Big Alaska adventures and no good lie through your tooth to Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford of Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. We're talking Alaska broadcast with our guest, a legend in Alaska broadcast history, Camille Conte, a.k.a. CeCe's in the house. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. I am here. I am Uncle Steve and my good buddy, co-host Mike Ford. And shortly, we're going to bring out our special guest who's in the green room right now, Camille Conte, who is...
Is the paint dry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I know. And we're so excited to have Camille because I've known her as long as I've been in Alaska broadcasting.
Wow.
But I can't remember the exact...
That's hard to believe since she's so young.
What's that?
I said that's hard to believe since she's so young.
I know. Well, I think back then they ignored the child labor laws. But it's a topic that we really love to talk about because Alaska broadcasting is a very important part of Alaska's history. And as we say, Camille, or CeCe as she is well known as, has her fingerprints all over it and truly... And also the fact a woman in broadcasting is just a very important part of our history. And the other thing that's really cool about this, Mike, you and I were talking about, today is our third live Big Alaska Show since in 4 years. And what I love about what we have here is because, you know, Camille is from New York, you know, and they get a little salty, and they're...
Yes.
And so we have a...
That's where Lance Boyle's from.
Yes, Lance Boyle is from the New York area, upper New York. And he was raised by squirrels. Anyway, the thing I was going to point out is our little bleep button. What do we call that? Is that it? Is that
the bleep button?
Yeah. What, we want to prevent some words of...
Oh.
You know.
I don't even know if that works anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to point out to CeCe is the thing about our bleep button is it works after.
Yes, it's on a delay. The delay is on a delay.
So this may be the last show on the air that we do live here at the last show, and so it's historic.
That's right.
Also, one of the gentlemen we had on the Big Alaska Show running the board for us for many years is now our competitor. He's over at Public Broadcasting.
Yes.
And Tobin Shelby, but to show that we're comfortable in our own skin, that, you know, even though our competitors have ripped us a new one, we were against Car Talk for all those years. People say, well, more people need to know about you. And I said, are you kidding me? We're against Car Talk.
Right.
You know, who they stripped us of everything and didn't even leave us with our dignity. So Tobin is over there and doing a wonderful job. And yesterday was his birthday. You can see where I'm going.
Yes, I do. Are you ready? Are you ready?
So anyway, we're going to send Tobin a belated birthday. And so it's Tobin Shelby. We'll do everything.
Are you ready? Yep.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Tobin Shelby. Tobin Shelby. Tobin Shelby.
Tobin Shelby. Happy birthday, Tobin Shelby. Keith, CeCe has left the building.
Yes.
Because I was trying to do this. But it's early morning and my hands, you know,
we had the backup going.
That was Camille. So, anyway, no, happy birthday, Tobin Shelby, and all the best to you, pal. We miss you. Anyway, we've got a fun show today. Our guest is Camille Conte, a fantastic broadcaster, has a great history here in Alaska. We're really privileged to have her on the air. And we're going to bring her on out of the green room when we come back. But of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
Hit the button, Mike.
Now push the button, Mike.
Yes, here we go.
Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for Alaskan bikers. Alaska's hard on bikers. A short riding season means a lot of riding during the long summer days, and that takes a lot of energy. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt gives bikers all the energy they'll need and then some. Plus, Mike Ford adds a special ingredient, a handful of gravel from the station's parking lot. That's because Mike knows bikers would rather drink gravel than ride on it. And one sip says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. Intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough for that Big Alaska Show Blend.
So that's how we roll here in the Big Alaska Show, and when we come back, we've got Camille Conte, a broadcast legend here in Alaska, here on the Big Alaska Show at AM 750 KFQD. Yes, that's right. AM still exists. 103.7 FM. We're streamed at KFQD.com, and you can hear our podcast at BigAlaskaShow.com. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts. For windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement, it's Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. Thanks a lot, and welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm here with co-host, wonderful, my buddy, Mike Ford. I'm Uncle Steve, and we are coming to you live. We do this periodically, and ever since the pandemic, we've had to pre-produce most of the shows. But now we're sneaking in periodically and doing a show live. So when we tank, we do it right in front of you. We bare our souls naked. And what's that old song? I don't look good naked anymore. So, anyway, our guest is Camille Conte, well-known in the broadcast circles here in Alaska. CC has a distinguished career in broadcast as well as community service. And we believe CC is a future broadcast Hall of Famer. Little spoiler alert, that's one of our goals. And she's not done yet. To know more about CC and her career, we've asked CC to join us. Please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Camille Conte. Let's hit that.
Wow.
How's that?
That's beautiful. Can we start again so I can hear that one more time?
Yes. Actually, what we should do is just record intros like that for people and sell it to them, sort of an ego booster.
A live bio.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Can I just start off by saying I've never had headphones like this? Not only
are they hurting,
giving a clamp to my head like I've never had before, but these are Howard Stern level headphones. What's with the cushions at the top here, the crown chakra? No, I've never had cushions.
No idea.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I'm impressed. No idea.
We stole them from down the hall. We got to put them back, so be careful.
Yeah. Well, the thing about them, they are tight. In fact, I've noticed that Camille's temples are touching.
I'm telling you, man. But it's the Kush right at the top. That's how much they care about us, which is rare. See, that they don't want our hair to be ruined.
Look at me, Camille. I mean,
I'd rather not.
Yes. I always love getting up early at this early morning riser with you guys, and you both are.
This isn't early.
What time What time do you have to get up for your weekday morning show?
4:30.
What?
4:30. I roll in at 5.
But how wonderful it is to have you on the Big Alaska Show.
It is wonderful to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I got to find out. Mike and I, you know, all of us have had several years in the broadcast industry up here. Mm. We've all sort of crossed paths in this real weird kind of world that we live here. Mike is now picking up another shift. He's going to be forward on board.
In the afternoons on K-Bear.
On K-Bear.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you're Mike in the morning.
Yeah, get both parts of my name out there. So, there
you go. That's success.
Yeah.
No. Is that what it is?
Okay. Yes.
No, it was like we were talking about earlier. They're letting him do everything. Oh, let's let Mike do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Let Mikey try it. He'll like it.
I'll like it. Yeah.
So we've had this long career, but we're trying to kind of piece it together.
Well, don't look at me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the drowning man.
Is that why I'm here?
Yeah. So let's start back. You're from New York.
I was born in Bronx, New York, and then shortly after that, we moved to North Jersey because I was the third in the line, and we were the first in the family to move out of New York. So it was a good thing, though. It was a beautiful upbringing.
How'd you get into radio?
I was fascinated by radio. I thought it was magic.
Yeah.
You know, I would hear the voices. My father was a big band drummer and band leader, aside from a full-time job. So music was in the house. My mom loved music as well, and it was always on. So I would hear the, you know, William B. Williams coming off of the classic WABC, I think, in New York. And I just thought, where are they? I was always looking for the person.
Yeah.
So by the time I was, you know, able to put my own little transistor under my pillow at night to listen to, you know, WABC and all the great music, I just wanted to be the magician, I guess.
Did you do radio in the New York area, or did you do it when you came up to Alaska?
I did a broadcasting stint in New York at a broadcasting school. And one of the things that stands out about that experience was that we had to bite into an apple and then say the alphabet.
Nice.
Yeah. Needless to say, my shirt was soaking wet by the time I got out of that class. But it was quite an exercise. And it was I guess it was all about enunciation.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you mentioned car talk, which is really interesting. I had come up here to Alaska in 1987, and I was with someone who knew I wanted to be in radio, and he found an ad in the paper for a salesperson at KENI AM and FM. And in the interview, the guy says, well, clearly you want to be on the air. And yes, so that began things in September of 87. But I went and got voice work because I was very conscientious of my accent. And 2 years after working diligently to neutralize what people were mocking, car talk came out.
And there you go. Like,
what the heck?
Exactly. I just blew how much money neutralizing my my accent. And these guys were all about that accent. Like a rocket ship.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You know.
Exactly. So.
That's hilarious.
We want you to be like everybody else.
It's there. It gets stronger. They're more passionate.
I've heard it, man. I've heard you. Hey,
that's right.
Hey, looked at me like I was a bug. You know, that kind of stuff. Here's the thing that we're trying to figure out. Was I at KENI the same time you were? We must have been at that time.
Okay. Yeah, I was. So I got the job in September of 87, and I was doing Saturdays and Sundays, 4 p.m. to midnight.
That's why.
And they were bringing the satellite in from L.A.
That's right.
FM station. So I would have the 15-second moment that took me to the top of the hour. We would come in, do local time temp, and then catch them at the top for a satellite show. So I believe that's where I knew you.
And the reason I was trying to figure it out, because you did do the weekends. I worked Monday through Friday, but we would come in at all hours to work because at that time, the economy was gone. Mm-hmm. It was crashed. 30% of the homes were empty.
You want a condo? Mm-hmm. Give me $10.
No lie. Let me tell you. Every broadcast property was struggling with Chapter 11.
Yeah.
Because we had a consultant come in during that time to sell the properties while we were there. So it was KNI was 550 or 650?
It was 550.
Okay, yeah. 550 a.m. The FM station was KKGR, and that's where Art Bell worked, who later on did all the, you know, the UFO.
And he's still on.
I know, that's what
they still run a show.
But weren't you there when John Ruby was there?
Yes.
And we had the $5 sale on advertising as a way to survive.
So now was it the Fox or was it KKGR?
No.
KKGR, I don't think.
It wasn't the Fox yet. I mean, we had several incarnations.
But was it 100.5?
It was 100 per, like, music, FM. We had a lot of different handles.
Right, but what was the frequency?
100.5.
It was 100.5. Yeah. Okay.
You were right, Mike, on that. Okay.
But I remember John Ruby. We lost a lot of people, and because of this situation you're talking about, but we had this fire sale. We were selling ads for $5. And you know what? We survived that. And I tip my hat to John Ruby and all the people that stayed because we loved it so much. We really didn't know what was going to happen, but we knew we had to go with it.
Did you ever hear his one-time traffic report?
I don't know.
We'll do that in a second. But the $5 thing, not only did we do that, we bartered, trading out products and services for airtime. And they called the Skeeter Beater was the thing. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up surviving because of that. And what Mike is talking about is at the time we had the Eye in the Sky road report.
Traffic report.
But what happened was the owner sold that to our competitor, and Dante and I were selling that as the Tesoro Road Report at the time. And it was really what we did best at. Greg Ashwell, who was actually
in the plane.
We had a plane actually flying around giving a live traffic report.
Right.
And so they sold it to our competitor, and Dante and I were crushed.
His idea, though, to take over. Genius.
And so here we are in this down economy, our one real feature we were selling. And, you know, we were walking around going, "Hi, I'm Steve. How do you like me so far? Get out." It was painful. And so
for everybody.
So it was about 2 a.m, and I couldn't sleep, and I went over to the station, and this is the old station that was made of teak and just
beautiful, right on Westchester.
This was a historic broadcasting building overlooking the lagoon and Denali. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful. And I went there, and Dante was there.
Yeah.
And we were both sort of moping around, and I said, "Dante, I got an idea. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to our competitors' traffic report, Greg Ashwell's traffic report. We're going to type it down. We're going to run it up to Dick Lobdell." And I said, just because it airs 1 minute immediately after our competitors and the information is identical, is completely coincident. And so we came up with the name. It was called Rumor Has It Road Report.
Dick Lobdell.
And can you just imagine Dick Lobdell's face? Yes.
Dick loved it.
I bet he did.
So we typed it up. We listened to our competitor's traffic report, typed it up, ran it up to Dick Lobdell, and he read the Rumor Has It Road Report. You mentioned John Ruby is the general manager. That airs, and he calls Dante and me up to his office, and he says, "You know, I got to tell you guys, in a time that is so difficult and challenging as this is, and it is, you guys have come up with really creative problem solving, which we really need. Did you like it, John? I loved it. Can we still do it?" No. So, the rumor has it, Rodenberg ran once.
One time. And I wish we had an air check of it. That would have been priceless.
I tell you, that was Dick Lobdell, boy. He was just one of a kind. Great human, and what a great broadcaster, because he was right next to me. So when I was in the FM studio, they were attached. So you literally, and sometimes I had to run both. So I was running back and forth, popping in 8 tracks, you know, the carts with the commercials and things on it. And I remember meeting him, and he was just so great.
And you had to edit slicing tape.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I still have all those reels. I would get a reel-to-reel just to put those on there. Because we did production work, and it was extraordinary.
It was fun, wasn't it?
And I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you had to really keep track of the slices that you took out, because it could get a little dicey when you were trying to retape things.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was good at it. I really enjoyed it. I remember when we sent listeners, I think, to see Elton John, and those promos were fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, radio is really a combo of promos, personality, and the production of things.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get those right, you got something good.
Well, Mike, you were saying something interesting. I was asking Mike, do you need to like the music that you're airing?
You know, it goes back to you can love the music, and, you know, and then you have people like you, Cece, who oozes through the broadcast, right, about your love of the music.
Yeah.
And, but if you get it, unfortunately, sometimes you'll be put in a position where you're working a format that may not be your favorite,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to let anybody know that.
That's right.
You know, because, and that was when I was in broadcast tech school in Washington State. And I was doing reviewing an air check with my mentor, who had been like top 40 guy back in the day, met Elvis, all this stuff, right?
Wow.
And he's like, you can listen to whatever you want to when you're off the radio and love it. You know, that's not what you're being paid for,
right.
dude. You know, get in there and, you know, you every second you're on there, they gotta know that you are involved.
The greatest advice, one of the greatest advice my dad gave me was he said, remember, people don't care about how you feel. They care about how you're going to make them feel.
Yes.
You know, and I've always taken that seriously. And it turns out it's good advice to follow. This
yeah.
is basically...
And you're talking to one person.
What you're saying. But let's also quantify this by saying there were also bands that I realized pretty quickly, especially after the station was consumed by consultants that took our beautiful playlist of hundreds of songs
right.
and reduced it to 80. You know, the ones that they knew people loved. And by the time I got done months after that, I mean, Kansas, Foreigner, REO Speedwagon, Rush, I was just like, wow, this is not my cup of tea. In fact, I had to take listeners to the Kansas show at the Performing Arts Center. And I was at the point where if I heard Dust in the Wind one more time,
that was going to
lose it. Yeah. You know? And I had to take them. They were in the front row. And I'll never forget this. At one point, the guy leans over and he said, aren't you having a good time? And I realized that.
The look on your face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right.
It was the air sick bag. There's an organicness to radio broadcast.
Sure.
And as a listener, I don't want to just listen to music because I'm hearing the same music everywhere. But when I start hearing you guys talk and tell me background stories about
right.
these situations or things that are of interest to me, I find that's why I leave the station on what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
I find that's what appeals to me.
There was a time when I was in Seattle for a while and I was out of radio. I was doing an affiliated thing. I was producing music logs for a dozen stations. And then this guy comes in and goes, hey, there's a show on the dial now. They don't have a delay and they let people call up and do bits. And so on my breaks, calling up and doing bits on this.
Oh, how fabulous.
And then I realized where all of this radio thing comes from. My mother, who was like in her 70s at the time, she heard it, and then she puts on this persona, and then she's calling up and doing bits.
Gosh.
But it's like, you know, those days are gone. You know?
Well, and we lived through them. When Steve and I were chatting the other day, we really have come through the last
mm-hmm.
of the great radio experience, certainly up here in Alaska. We were all involved in radio at the height of
right.
its popularity.
It was good broadcast.
It was
here
good.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, even K-Whale, I mean, there were a lot of stations. We were friendly competition
mm-hmm.
with each other. But it was good. We would go out and do live remotes. I mean, we gave away all those the Beatles.
Oh, and trips.
We did a whole Beatles
and
thing
trips.
At the fair. So, yeah, we gave away trips.
I'm trying to remember, there was one time, and I think it was a Thanksgiving, and I'm trying to remember who the PD was, but the Fox was giving away a trip to see the Stones.
Yeah.
And one of the more enthusiastic contest players, whose name will not be, but you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yes,
you know
I
who
do.
I'm talking
I
about.
I do. Haven't heard his name in my head in a while.
And we had let go the news director over here, and they had gotten a job at the Fox, and so they were over there, and my wife at the time was outside, but my nephew and I were still up here, and it was Thanksgiving, so that person invited us over for Thanksgiving dinner, and whoever the PD was there, And it was going to be a live giveaway for that trip. And guess who won it?
Oh, I know.
And it was like,
I know.
Oh, my Lord.
No, not
and
him.
And he chokes on his stuffing.
We all did. Believe me.
What we're giving away now, we're giving away, like, used appliances and, you know, things that we don't.
And here on the Big Alaska Show, we have, what is our disclaimer, Steve?
Oh, yeah, we're eligible to win our own prizes, and we usually do.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, there came a time when that person was winning far too much, and I can say it now, but at the time, if it was caller 10, and he was caller 10, I'd say, I'm so sorry, you're caller 9.
Yeah.
Because you just had to give it to somebody else. I was like, how is this even happening? But what I do want to acknowledge is, you know, you guys are really holding up the flag, so to speak, for what radio ultimately, you know, is all about, which is entertainment. And for me to walk down these halls and just see the loss of local in our radio, and I know life has changed and there's all sorts of other rituals now for getting information, but it's still a viable thing, right? You know, local live radio. So congratulations, really. You've been around a long time. You've spoken to so many people, and it's been wonderful.
Well, you know, the thing is, we've always maintained we're the longest-running mistake-ridden radio show in Alaska's history.
And then there's that.
And
well, the other part that I've noticed, too, is, you know, like you were mentioning about back in the days when we'd all produce things and we'd spend hours in the studios doing those amazing productions. And now with everything has been more synthesized as far as the actual ability to do those things. And one thing I really do appreciate now is, like, when I'm on the mornings and cool, and it gives me time to talk to people and actually produce things because of the digital things. So being still having that opportunity in this day and age, I feel very blessed.
Absolutely.
I feel very blessed. And then I'm going to be doing that in the afternoon on KBR now.
And when I did Classics to Go on the Fox during the lunch hour, callers would call in, I'm rolling tape.
Yep.
They got recorded on that reel-to-reel.
Yeah.
And in between, you know, I'm in cue mode. In between the songs, I'm finding that beginning, and
That's
a CC Classics to Go. Hey, CC, you know.
People really enjoy watching the behind the scenes, and it's been really an eye-opener for me because my background was video and video production and TV originally. But I picked up radio during when the crash happened in the 80s and started doing that on the side. But I got a real view of how intricately the duck floating on top of the water serenely while the legs are paddled. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. That's the thing about the Big Alaska. Early in the morning, these people know how to finish my sentences when I don't. When we come back, now we're going to talk to Cece about her career as she's been going through, and she does a lot of stuff for the community as well. As we're really glad you get to learn more about her because this is a fantastic broadcaster here in the Big Alaska Show. When we return, more with Camille Conte.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford of Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Alaska. You can call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. We come to you each Saturday morning, 9.05 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KFQD. That's 103.7 FM and 7.50 a.m. And we're streamed live during that time at kfqd.com. And we've got podcasts that are fun to listen to at BigAlaskaShow.com. And you can email us, too, by going to BigAlaskaShow.com if you're interested in certain guests and want us to go after them. I still remember
get
that one.
There he goes. Get him.
Yeah, I still remember that place in Nanana. It was bed and maybe breakfast. So maybe we'll get to it. But anyway, BigAlaskaShow.com and email us. Our guest is Camille Conte, CC, as she is known in the broadcast industry. So how did you get the name CC? You're over at KNI. It was KKGR. It was the 100.5. But now it becomes the Fox, and you go with that.
Well, it's...
Sort of? Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, look, the honest story is, as you know, I'm a big music fan, and being from New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen was a big fan of mine, and I went to my first Springsteen concert 1978, August, Madison Square Garden, at the time, row 17. And it was life-changing, as your first concerts can be. Mm-hmm. And he sang the song C.C. Rider, the medley by Mitch Rider, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
And by then I was hanging off the hockey railing. I had somehow gotten up on top and was holding on. And with my fist punching the thick summer air, and he sang that song. And he, for the 17-year-old at the time, he was singing right to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I took the name C.C. Rider that night. Oh. And then after the Marconi Award, I realized, okay, I've got to start moving towards more of who I am. So that's where I went to C.C. Because it's just a great nickname. People knew me by that.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how that came to be.
Okay.
I mean, just calling the Camille Conti Show, my current show, the Camille Conti Show, took a lot. I mean, it wasn't an easy segue because I never felt like I should be at the front. It was always the show mm-hmm. and the content of the show versus me. And that's, but now, of course, I got over that. Figured it out.
When they start paying you.
Yeah.
So you, now, 100.5 The Fox is a local station here, but you're at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah.
You know, and really, John Ruby was one of the greatest people that ever crossed my path, because for John, there was never a problem. There was just an exciting opportunity.
Yeah.
And I remember when we changed handles, and I can't remember which one came first, but he called me in on a Sunday, and I had to revoice all the liners after this situation with the economy, and it was, I think Magic 100 FM. And we came in, and I did all this work, and then the next morning he called me and he said, Cease, we got a little bit of a situation. I go, what's up? He goes, we can't use that handle. Somebody else is. I'm like, what? So then we changed it to Music 100 FM, and I had to come in, and he was just a remarkable guy. So, yeah, then, so after that, it was bought by Tom Tierney. Mm-hmm. And Tom Tierney was, come on, a local guy buying a radio station, turning it into one of the most successful stations ever in the city.
Great, great guy.
And it was because we had creative freedom. I mean, that's what we had. And it was wonderful because there are so many talented people, yourselves included. And when you're in a situation where they trust you and they trust your talent and they know you know where the lines are and they also know occasionally you got to step over them. Oh, my gosh. What an atmosphere that was. It was very, very exciting.
You know, a side note is Tom Tierney's son, Andy, we've always kidded, is our number one listener.
Oh,
and the reason is he loves to hear his tank on the air. He loves to hear, as he says, a wobbly wheel. But to your point, Tom Tierney gave people room.
Yes, a lot of room.
And he was a great leader. And Andy, his son, is very much in the same style. He owns his own company. He was in broadcast for a long time. But he recognized talent and opened it up. And helped support that.
When KENI FM became 100.5 The Fox, Tom had a party, and we did a lot of different things at that party, including, people taking on the names of KENI. But we also had like a burning ritual because we wanted to end the legacy of that radio station before we birthed this new experience that we had. And so that was phenomenal. But the change came when consultants were brought in. That was the moment in radio for me that changed the course of history.
And so people understand the role of a consultant, because you guys have had to deal with those for forever since then. They come into a market and
crush the heart radio station that they hired by.
But what they do is they say, these are the songs that people want to hear. These are the numbers that support that. When you try to make art into a spreadsheet.
That's right.
It doesn't work.
When the line was drawn, and over here you had salespeople and promotional people and all the people with desks in the office, and then everybody else was the creative people putting together the creative part of a radio station, which we knew how to do. We knew what the people wanted to listen to, right? And so that's why it was so good, because we treated them as adults. We knew they could handle more than one song from an album. That's why FM radio was such a success, because at the time it wasn't about hits. songs became hits, but the attitude was the ritual of the album, all the songs on the album. And so when the consultants came in, they changed that, as you're saying, through the lens of dollars and cents, though it made no sense.
Well, right. One thing that they were looking at are ratings.
Yeah.
And for those of us, because I have, you know, I built an advertising agency, bought tons of airtime, and I would use it using Nielsen's and Arbitron's mm-hmm. ratings. But the thing is, I always go to the on-air people. And even though I can look and see here, this is how much this time period gets and how many humans are listening to it and the age groups and all that stuff, I go to you guys who are on the air because you hear from who your customers are and you get a sense of that sample of who your listeners are. And so I always go to the on-air people and say, tell me who your listeners are. Who are they? Because you're closer to it mm-hmm. than ratings numbers
talk
show.
To them.
And what's happened, though, since technology has been in place, there's been a real boomerang effect as far as being able the opportunities. I look at what you've done, Cece, and how you've taken your talent, and you now can mesmerize a worldwide audience, mm-hmm. right? And because of the technology that's
right.
been afforded you,
yeah.
And so in a way, the changes of technology have kind of nullified and equalized.
Yeah.
The opportunity for all of us that want to continue to be passionate and creative.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's phenomenal.
We just need to move it to another platform.
Yeah.
Well, the difficulty, though, is here's the thing, though. Here's the challenge. Broadcast works in Anchorage, Alaska. We don't have the satellite feeds that we do in the States. Broadcast still is the big tent compared to digital in this town.
Sure.
I mean, people, they're different tools and they work together and all stuff, but... The point being is the cost of broadcast in Anchorage, Alaska is low compared to so many other forms of advertising because we have a small population base. The signals reach everybody, the competition, and it keeps the cost very low. You go to a place like New York or when you were in mm-hmm. Seattle, where mm-hmm. you have huge numbers mm-hmm. of humans, it becomes very expensive. But here it's still really very cost effective. And the point being is sponsors will do that. And they'll pay you. They'll bring in money at the local level. It's when you start trying to get out of it and start
yeah.
to do things through YouTube and all that stuff that becomes a lot more work and more challenging. It does expand the pie as far as your reach and all that stuff. But you get paid here, you know, it works. But a question I've got for you, because I know we're going to run out of time. You've gone on to KABN, Cabin.
I think Cabin came before I got to KENI. When I got up to Alaska,
oh, wow.
I was asking people about radio.
Was it in Big Lake at the time?
Yeah, it was,
okay.
it was out there. And I can see myself walking up the steps. And the first thing I experienced was the smell of pot. Marijuana, cannabis.
Welcome to Alaska.
And I walk in, and there's this guy sitting on the couch with an album cover open, rolling a joint. I'm just going, okay, this is a very relaxed atmosphere.
You know that song ended 10 minutes ago.
It's the needle was still on the album, you know.
And so I went there. But the thing I want to say about the consultants is, and I always wish I had taken the paper, but I have the memory still of it, is when the consultants came on to 100.5 The Fox, I was on the air, and they kept me there. Now, in their mind, I was a placeholder. And after quite some time, when we moved the radio station, I was snooping in files, and I found a letter from them to the program director at the time, Dave Moore. And they were talking about me. And in the letter, and by this time I had won the Marconi Award, and I had, you know, all the high ratings and whatnot, and they had written in that letter, let's just keep her in her place right now, but she's far too green to really become anything.
Wow.
And what? I say that because, you know, you have to believe in yourself. Nobody knew what I knew about what was in my heart about my life with radio. You know, I knew that I had something in me, and fortunately I was surrounded by enough people who saw it and helped groom me to become what I eventually became, including my voice coach, Michael Moore. But I remember finding that. And I just had this moment where...
Galvanized you.
I mean, and they weren't right.
Yeah.
They didn't know everything.
No.
They couldn't, and that's the thing. They didn't know talent. They may have known songs that could produce something tangible financially.
Right.
But they couldn't see the talent, and that's what radio has lost.
They, you know, the whole, the way it was set up is they were going to reach a certain level, but the level of mediocrity, and it didn't allow for this more, and the whole thing in marketing is to differentiate yourself from your competitor. So, you know, they took that away from you. A thing that I want to get into, because I,
sure,
is you are doing promos for your, you know,
yeah,
promotions and events and stuff like that. I've done one with her, Mike, mm-hmm, that it was a women's organization back in the early 90s, and we did it at the Fourth Avenue Theater, and you and I hosted that. And the reason, wow, I remember this really well is I had to write a barbershop thing and do a Tarzan skit where she's saying, I'm a woman, this woman that did this, the event. And I did my first stand-up joke, very first one, because I thought, well, we have an opportunity to, we have an audience, let's try what it would be like to do stand-up. And I took one of those big rubber, those red noses, mm-hmm, big foam rubber nose, and I put it on my nose, and I went, Nostradamus. And there were crickets. And I started to have flop sweat. I pouring down. But anyway, I did that with you, and it was so much, mm-hmm, fun. You are so good at auctions.
Mm. Yes, and, she is.
And that's something. What was the thing you did, and you were in an RV?
Oh, yeah.
It was what? It was
the Fox Food Drive for many, many years around the holidays. I would sit in that RV at the corner of Spinard in Minnesota. I'd do the live show from there. I would be live on Rick and Jackie's show, Rick Rydell and Jackie Purcell. They were doing mornings on the Fox at that time, and it was incredible. We had the truck. People would come and bring food.
Was Floyd on the corner jumping,
yes,
up and down?
Yes, he sure was. You know, he sure was. And I'd sleep in there. I'd sleep in the RV. How crazy is that from today's perspective?
Oh, I remember you being in a car, your own car.
Yeah.
And doing a Facebook Live thing, and you're free. And I just see this, the how cold it was. You still love doing these auctions. You'd love
doing. Oh, gosh, yeah.
What?
I come alive on the stage. I love people. I love people. And like my dad, I'm really an entertainer at heart.
Oh, yeah.
So when I get in front of a live crowd,
It's fun with you, too.
Oh, it's just, yeah, so I do MC and auctioneer work. I'm actually relaunching those services. I've only been back in Anchorage 2 full years after caring for my mom and going through COVID back east and all of that horrific experience that so many people went through. But I'm back, baby, and every event needs an MC. And to have a local female auctioneer in this community, let alone any community, is a rarity. It's a rare thing to see a woman MC, a woman auctioneer, a woman behind the mic. It's just rare because radio has often been a male-dominated experience, which is fine. But to have the females we've had in this town, like April and Kathy Mitchell, like to be successful in a male-dominated industry is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it only because you have some sort of talent to do it. So that is something I'm grateful to still do. And I am available at CamilleConte.com.
Well, when we do the podcast at BigAlaskaShow.com of today's show, we're going to put the links for this, mm-hmm, to, and we're going to let people know that you're available, and especially as we go into the holiday seasons.
Yeah. It's a different show, too, because the consultants have told us to cut out the noises in between. So it's a different thing you'll hear on the podcast.
Yeah. And just two things real quick. We have to remember that before radio was radio as we know it, and you were mentioning this the other day, AM radio was a lifeline.
Yep.
You know, like the Alaska Public Radio Network, like to have lifelines. This is when people were reading messages, mm-hmm, on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had
to
that.
People out in, you know, rural Alaska.
Well, as late as 2018, when
exactly,
that last earthquake happened, I remember being in this room for 8 hours straight.
Right.
Taking calls from people. We were verifying, no, that's not true. That elementary school has not been destroyed.
So important.
Your kids are safe. And 8 hours straight. Five of us were in here.
You can't replace that.
You
with
can't
anything.
Replace that.
So
nope.
Hats off to, you know, wherever that is still happening, because that's a beautiful thing. And for as much as I say about the consultants, there were aspects of what they did, obviously, that were helpful and worked. It's just the discussion about creative people.
And they light the fires under us of creative natures.
Yeah.
So
Now, if we were to wave a magic wand,
oh, okay.
And yeah, and
have one of those?
What radio show would? What would be your ideal radio show for CeCe, Camille Conti?
Yeah, well, I do miss being live on the air 5 days a week. I've kind of been really, this is why it's emotional to walk down these halls, because I miss it, and I miss the opportunity to have a producer taking phone calls and talking to people. But my show today, the Camille Conti Show, music is very powerful, and the music I grew up with is very thematic, and there's always something there musically that supports whatever it is I'm talking about. So I like to open my show about whatever is going on for me that I feel is interesting, whether it's the full moon or maybe something in the headlines that I can speak about very generically. I like to help people remember to, you know, stay in the upper vibe of life, because it can be difficult if you're wrapped up in news and headlines to feel good about yourself, and we're allowed to feel good about ourselves regardless of what's happening out there. So, yeah, that and great new music. I do something called the New Music Spotlight, because even Jimi Hendrix at some point was brand new, so it's important to keep track of what's good and new in music. But I miss this. I miss talking to people, and I miss interviews. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that now.
Well, I'll tell you, CeCe, we miss you. Mm. And as far as feeling better, keeping up in the upper vibe, think of the Big Alaska Show as you're going with someone who runs slower than you, bear hunting.
No, I don't believe that. You know, no, you guys are phenomenal. What you put together every week is a big deal. And a lot of people listen because it's entertaining and it's engaging and you're funny and you're both so talented. So
we're recording
great.
This, aren't we?
Yeah, we're gonna play this back. I mean, there'll only be two listeners in our podcast. That's gonna be me and Mike. Hey, CeCe, I know our time is coming to a close.
Oh, it's been great.
You are awesome. We just touched on just a little bit of your career, what you've done for so many people, and bring that New York energy to us, and how much we're so grateful for it. And we want to give, and we're going to post this podcast. We're going to have links to CeCe so you can get in touch with her. Let's give Camille Conti, CeCe, a Big Alaska
Forget
Show
about
thank
it.
You. And what's that?
Forget about it. Yeah.
To my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right. We want to thank CeCe for coming in. We want to thank you for listening. And, of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tunnel, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your Xerox sales agent for Alaska at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good lie through your tooth, all Alaska tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.